Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 2021 predictions recap. We're going to be going over all of our preseason predictions, who we picked to win each division, who we had as wild cards, our World Series matchups, who we thought would win AL, NL, Cy Young, as well as the MVPs. We were way off on some of them, so there might be some roasting in this episode. Should be entertaining. And all five hosts are here tonight. Charlie Smith, Job Goddard, Andrew Dwan, Jason Kelly, and myself, Terry Cushman. We are going to get right into it. We will start with our division winners. Job, you are in the leadoff spot. Who did you pick to win the AL East, and how off were you?
Okay, well, surprise, surprise, it was not the Boston Red Sox. It was not the Tampa Bay Rays for me. And in fact, I don't have it in front of me, so give me just a second to pull that up. I picked the Blue Jays.
Solid pick.
I thought the Blue Jays, the beginning of the season, after adding Robbie Ray, were going to be an offense that no one could stop, and that they were going to have just enough pitching to get there. Obviously, it took them until July to put together their pitching, and then at that point they had a mountain to climb. But that is still the league's best offense, and they're going to be a force to reckon with moving forward. I still think that they might win the division for the next couple of seasons.
Very possible. Jason, your pick for the AL East.
I picked the Yankees to win. So I was not the only one who picked the Yankees, but I thought, looking at that lineup, the lineup's decent. The rotation wasn't great, I'll give you that. But with Gerrit Cole at the front there, with the potential of Severino coming back at some point, maybe. And I thought Judge was going to go off this year. I thought Stanton was going to maybe stay healthy this year. I expected a big year out of guys like Gleyber Torres and some of their other guys, and it just never panned out. And I looked at the Yankees and I said, they're always going to be that team at the trade deadline that's going to add the big name. They're going to go out and do something. And they did add at the deadline. They got Rizzo and they got Gallo, but Gallo was a nothing to their lineup. Rizzo gave them a little spark at first, but after that, he kind of tailed off. He really didn't give them anything. Their bullpen was not as good as I thought. And at the end of the day, it's just, they've got Aaron frickin' Boone as their manager. And I feel like that team, as long as Aaron Boone is there, it's going to be the same thing. They're going to contend a little bit. They'll go on a run at some point, and everyone's going to say, oh, here come the Yankees, and then they'll collapse in September. And that's exactly what they did. It's just, I wish I had foreseen that a little bit more. I put probably too much faith in Aaron Boone, but yeah, the Yankees, I unlike Job, I can't say that my pick is going to be around for next year or for many years going forward, because I think the Yankees are in trouble, especially now that Aaron Boone's just always going to come back, and they're just never going to get rid of him.
3 years. You sound upset about that, Jason.
No, I'm not upset. I'm just surprised. I'm just surprised that the Yankees are just kind of being like, yeah, this is good enough. We're okay. We're still putting butts in seats, so who cares about winning, right? Yeah, as long as we put butts in seats. It's like, it's surprising.
It's not great for the rivalry anyway, but Andrew, go ahead. Your pick for the AL East.
Yeah, it was another Yankee pick there. Mine was actually because I didn't believe in Toronto or Tampa Bay. I actually thought Tampa Bay was going to take a giant step back just after, you know, they made the World Series and traded some of their best players away. And that turned out to be a lie. They were great. But the Yankees definitely made a push there to make this pick not look so terrible. Luckily, they didn't do anything with any of the assets they gave up. Rizzo was meh. And I mean, he definitely wants to be back, but I don't know if they want him back, especially if they can go out and trade for Matt Olson. Joey Gallo is hilarious. That's just an adorable trade. And I don't think the Yankees would be that good. John Heyman said he had them as the favorite to land Robbie Ray today, which I don't see. And I think that'd be actually kind of risky for him. But I still think that there's going to be 3 teams better than the Yankees next year. They will not be my pick.
And the other thing, too, that is surprising is Judge and Stanton had a pretty good run of health this year, and they still didn't do much. So, yeah, I am going to pat myself on the back because the next division is not going to go well for me. I was the only one who had the Tampa Bay Rays winning this division. I thought every team was flawed. I was very low on the Red Sox, as we'll get to later on. And I just thought if there was a bunch of flawed teams, nobody manages a flawed team better than Kevin Cash. And that was my reason for picking the Rays. They ended up winning the division fairly handily, so feel good about that one. But so only one correct pick there. Let's go ahead and move over.
Hey, Terry.
Yes.
I also had the Yankees.
Oh.
No,
it's not. We're moving past you. You're not important.
I'm botching it bad.
No, you're fine.
I'm just warming up for the next division on how bad it's going to be for me. But go ahead, Charlie.
No, you're good. So I actually really enjoyed that Andrew is my favorite. It was an adorable – Joey Gallo is adorable. He actually did worse in New York than he did before coming there. I don't really think that Rizzo made that much of an impact either. I think everybody really thought the Yankees were going to be a force. And assuming everything went well, the sticky substance kind of became a worrisome issue in New York. But, Terry, you and I, before – I think it was maybe a month and a half ago, before the season was over, that was one of the questions of the totally legit or call the cops. Do you think the Red Sox could finish a game ahead of both the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Yankees? It ended up being that they finished a game ahead of just Toronto, but boy, was it close. They're also not going to be my pick next year. I don't know if there's going to be 3 teams or 2 teams better, but they're not going to be headed in the right direction. There's just too much going wrong for that team.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, all of the teams have a good foundation to work off of. And, you know, so it'll be an interesting winter to see how they kind of, you know, add guys. And speaking of Joey Gallo being adorable, I just put a picture in the war room. His first post-shaving pick, he looks exactly like a Backstreet Boy to me. That was my observation anyway. So, all right, we'll stay in the correct order in the next division, I promise. Job, go ahead, take us through your AL Central division winner.
Well, I think this was the most popular pick among all of us. I picked it in spite of the manager. I just thought they had so much talent, and I picked the Chicago White Sox. They ran away with that division, so I was correct in that assumption. Pitching, offense, they dealt with some injuries, and they were able to pull through. They lost Tim Anderson for a little while. They lost the person that I had as a top 5 MVP candidate in Luis Robert for about a month at the beginning of the season. and then never really got on the field until August. And they were able to still make a run at it. They were my pick, and I feel very confident they will repeat as AL Central champs next season.
Jason, go ahead. Your pick for the AL Central.
Okay, this is going to be a rough one for me. I am the only one who picked the Minnesota Twins. So I looked at their lineup. I looked at their rotation. Thank you for the golf clap, Joe. I looked at their lineup. I thought, okay, decent lineup. Cruz in the middle. Polanco, you know, guys like that. Arias, like Buxton in there. Okay, good. Top end of their rotation, Barrios, Maeda. Sure, looking good. Then they struggled in the first half, and I thought, okay, well, you know, it's not the end of the world. Then they traded Nelson Cruz on July 22nd, and I was like, oh, okay. Maybe they're just dumping some salary. Maybe they don't believe him. Then they traded Barrios, and then they traded a bunch of other guys, and I went, oh, this is over. My pick is just getting nuked. Right here in the month of July. So, look, the Twins just completely fell apart. I was probably wrong to pick them in the first place. I don't think that they were truly built for success. I think I put too much stock in the idea that the White Sox weren't going to rally with everything going on with La Russa. I kind of looked at that as a broken operation. Turns out it wasn't. They won, whether in spite of him or just for each other, who knows, but they pulled it together. They did what they had to do, and they ended up winning that division pretty handily. So I probably didn't put enough stock in the White Sox, and I probably just looked at the Twins and thought they've got the best roster next to the White Sox outside of that, you know, in that division. So that was a mistake. They ended up just blowing it up and completely tanking. And I don't know what the future holds. The Minnesota Twins. I don't know if Baldelli is the guy there. I don't, you know, they traded away their best pitcher. Their farm system's okay, but it's not like the best. It's not this farm system that you look at and go, well, they'll, you know, give them 2 years and they'll be right back in it. I'm not sure that's the case. So Minnesota has some work to do. I will not be picking them next year. I can tell you that. As a spoiler alert for next year's preseason podcast, I will not be picking them. I think they're a few years away. So, yeah, that was like throwing Mookie Betts a slider down and away. That was a big swing and a miss on my part.
Andrew.
Yeah, for me, this was my most confident pick of any of the divisions. If I had to put money on any of them, it would have been this one. It was the White Sox again, like Job said, despite Tony La Russa doing his best efforts to make everyone hate him in that locker room, having one player retire after he like called him out for pipping a grand slam
at 25.
Yeah, that was just a whole mess. And you know, they did run through a lot of injuries, but Eloy passed away before the season. They had his jersey hanging up. That was like the most pathetic thing I've ever seen, but they battled through it. They're, you know, Rodon had a good year again. Giolito, as we'll definitely talk about later, didn't live up to expectations, but was good enough. Who else? They? Oh, Lance Lynn was just an absolute stud for them. That trade worked out great. Yeah, the White Sox, I think that's a pretty easy one that we could all agree on for next year, that they're probably hands down a favorite to win that division by like 8 to 10 games at least.
Yeah. Charlie.
Yeah. Thanks, Terry. Following Andrew, it's pretty much we're aligned on a lot of these picks. I can say that now because it's going to get ugly for me shortly. I was the most certain about this pick. Actually, I think this was my second most because there was one in the National League that I think we all agreed we thought was going to be an easy pick. This team had so much talent. And even before all the injuries took place, it felt like this team should have been the first place team by a minimum of 10 games. They ended up winning by 13 after everything was said and done. I don't think anything's going to change. This will still be the one that I pencil in for next year as well. I mean, just way too much talent.
Well, I wasn't a believer in Tony La Russa, and apparently I had a ton of faith in the Cleveland Indians because that was my pick. And Shane Bieber got injured. Plesac, I thought, was on the DL, at least briefly, IL, rather. And I just thought their pitching was good. I thought they would their pitching would kind of carry them a little bit, and they would figure out the offense, and it just didn't happen. And the White Sox had 93 wins, and the Indians did finish second, but with only 80 wins. So the White Sox just ran away with it. They had the only winning record in the division. So that was a whiff on me. And I do agree with you guys. It's going to be hard to pick against the White Sox next year. You know, unless the Royals or I don't think the Tigers are there yet, can have like a San Francisco Giants type out of nowhere run. But, you know, we're not going to be bold enough to go that route. So huge whiff for me. Even bigger whiff later on when in regards to the Indians. So let's go over to the American League West. Joe, go ahead. Who is your pick?
Well, I picked the Houston Astros. It's another one that I got right. I'm not super pleased with the way that their season turned out. But, I wish they lost to us. But they were a great team all season. Their offense was just super high-powered. I don't think I will pick them next season. But in all reality, I don't know who's going to win the AL West next year because Oakland Athletics might be blowing it up. They just lost one of the best managers in baseball to the San Diego Padres. And the Houston Astros are going to have some free agent questions coming up here pretty soon.
Very good. Jason, who was your AL West pick?
Yeah, I also picked the Astros. They were the strongest team from the start out. They had the best lineup. They had the best rotation in my mind. The only other team I considered was the Oakland Athletics, but Oakland just always seems to do something stupid midway towards the end of the year that ends up costing them. And in this case, I think they're going to look back on the Starling Marte for Jesus Luzardo trade, and they're going to kick themselves. What a stupid, stupid trade that was. They're probably going to lose Matt Olson. This is the same team that let Marcus Semien walk for whatever reason, because they didn't want to pay him. But, you know, the Astros were the best team. And I agree with Job. Next year, the AL West is going to be really interesting. I think that division could be a toss-up. The only team that I look at that maybe won't contend is Texas. But Seattle has gotten really good. Their young talent has really stepped forward. I think the Angels, if they can just get a effing pitching staff, they'll be good. But, you know, who knows? They'll probably go out and sign a middle infielder for too much money, knowing them. And I think Oakland will still hang around. Houston will still hang around, but we know they're losing Correa. Who knows what they're going to do with their manager position? I don't imagine Dusty Baker's going to be back, but
no, he is.
He is going to be back. Yeah. Okay. So that's surprising.
They lost their pitching coach though. Their pitching coach retired from baseball today.
So I feel like the Astros are going to go through a lot of changes, and that division is going to be up in the air next year, but at least for this year, it was pretty easy. It was the Astros. They were the best team going at the start. They had the best momentum going forward. You know, this might have been one of their last real runs at it for a while, but they made the most of it. So it was a decent pick, at least.
Andrew.
Yep. Also had the Astros. Also was quite confident in that one. That division, no one wants to win it. I don't understand why. Well, I guess I do understand why the A's are absolutely calling it quits, but it's kind of pathetic, and it's just completely unfair to their fans. The Angels, I mean, this is totally the offseason that Artie Moreno would sign Marcus Stroman to, like, a $40 million over, like, ask, right? I think that is, like, their go-to move at this point. They'll be like, oh, you know what? Rendon's healthy. Might as well go for it. But, yeah, they're in a class of their own, but Correa's gone. Gurriel's free agent. Their catcher's a free agent. Who knows with Verlander? Who knows with any of their pitchers? Greinke's gone. They have a lot of questions, and I don't know who's going to step up for them. Bregman was completely lost at the end of the season. It was hideous. You know, that should have been honestly one of the best subplots of the World Series. There's a huge rivalry going back to pre-draft between him and Alex Bregman. They were both fighting for the first overall pick. Bregman took it personally that Swanson went ahead of him, but then Bregman's bad seventh, and I don't even, even have a hit the entire World Series.
Yeah.
If he did, it was like one or two.
It had one or two, yeah. That was what he had.
Yeah, and Dansby was launching, you know, go-ahead home runs. So, well, we know who won that battle. But, yeah, I don't know who's going to be their team leader next year. Who knows what happens with Michael Brantley? He's older. Jordan Alvarez is a stud, but unless you're David Ortiz and you have a great surrounding cast, a DH as your best player can only take you so far. So I'll be actually very curious to see who we all pick going into next offseason or next start of season.
I wouldn't rule out completely that Correa could return. I mean, maybe they're not the favorites at this point, but I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to try to make a play at keeping him. But I got this one wrong. I went with the Oakland A's. I don't feel bad about that. That was probably one of my more stressful decisions because the Astros, I mean, they just went to their fifth straight ALCS. Three out of the five, they were in the World Series. So maybe I got to stop picking against the Astros. But the A's, they have a great manager. They've had a couple recent seasons where I think they won 97 wins. I skipped Charlie again. We'll get to Charlie. The problem is we're almost in order here, and I'm after Andrew on the window, and so I'm thinking I'm next all the time. But anyway, I'll wrap real quick. I just kind of trusted them, and they were going to lose the division by the time Bassett got hurt anyway. If anything, that might have cost them a wild card berth. But yeah, so I skipped Charlie again like an ass. Who did you pick, Charlie?
I picked the ass. No, I'm just kidding. I picked the Los Angeles Angels, and that's no laughing matter, folks. Yeah. So this is my mindset. I said during that show, Shohei Ohtani was going to have a ridiculous season. Him paired with Mike Trout, that's going to be disgusting. I ended up being right about Shohei. I just didn't have the stones to pull the trigger and have him be the MVP of the AL. I couldn't do it. And I thought, you know what? If all the starters hit, you have great offense as well. There's a chance. I couldn't pick Houston, even though Houston had the most talent, because I hate Houston. There's a reason why Alex Bregman didn't do that well towards the end of the year. It's kind of hard when no one's hitting trash cans to let you know a pitch is coming. I'm over Houston, and I think it's the end of a dynasty in Houston as well. They were in the playoffs. They'd made multiple ALCS trips.
Dynasties require a win, you know, or at least one without cheating.
An asterisk win, still a win. They're going to take it no matter what. But here's the thing. Their team is going to blow up. Carlos Correa, I don't think he's coming back. Michael Brantley, if he comes back at all, it's going to be for a team-friendly deal. Bregman needs to figure it out. Justin Verlander had like a pity party, and the team didn't even want him to throw the first pitch in the game. So he's going to be outcasted out. I don't think anybody's signing up to come to Houston right now. It's not a destination city. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But Houston next year will not be my pick for the AL West either, unless they make a lot of additions and Carlos Correa buys back in, because I don't think he bought back into that team yet.
I think Seattle's going to be the sexy pick this winter as far as that division. But all right, let's skip over to the National League side of it. National League East. Job, who did you pick?
Well, I went with the Atlanta Braves, which I think was the most popular pick at the time. But I didn't go for the reasons that took them to the World Series. I didn't think that it was going to be Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson, and Eddie Rosario carrying that team. I thought it was going to be Mike Soroka was coming back. Ian Anderson in 2020 was fantastic. I thought Ian Anderson was going to win the Cy Young this year. Obviously, it didn't pan out so well for me. And I thought their bullpen was great. Turns out I was right about the bullpen. I was wrong about the reasons why they were able to do it, but I stuck with that play all season long. I thought they were the best team by far in that division.
Jason.
Yeah, I also picked the Braves. And again, like Job, they ended up doing it in spite of the reasons I thought. I thought Acuna was going to be the driver on that team. He ends up getting hurt. I thought Soroka was going to be a big part of it. He ends up getting hurt. But the Braves just, they did what they had to do. They added at the deadline. They added the perfect pieces at the deadline. Guys like Adam Duvall and Jock Peterson, who, you know, other teams didn't really sniff at. And they added those guys that were instrumental parts of their postseason run. Ian Anderson is a stud. Freddie Freeman had a great year. Dansby Swanson had a great year. They had it all kind of put together. And I looked at the rest of the National League East and I thought, this is a group of pretenders. The Phillies are pretenders. The Mets are pretenders. I don't care that they got Lindor. I don't care that they made all these moves. They got Baez at the deadline. The Mets are still the Mets. They're pretenders. They're always going to be pretenders. They just can't get figure out their ass from their elbow. So I knew that was going to be the case. And the Phillies, I just, you know, you saw that coming a mile away. It's like, you know, just with that pitching staff, it's good, but it's not perfect. That lineup is very imperfect. Even though Bryce Harper had a great year, but, and you know, the Marlins are what they are. It's, you know, who cares? So, I just figured the Braves had the best top down lineup rotation bullpen out of anyone in the NL East. So, I'm glad I picked them. I'm glad they won because I feel like they deserved it the most, but, yeah, they did it in spite of a few guys that I really thought were going to be key parts of that. So hats off to them.
Yeah, I also went with the Braves, and Ronald Acuna going down didn't help that, but somehow they battled through it, thank God. I mean, thank God for baseball. You know, an Astros World Series really would have sucked. They did a lot. They have so much homegrown talent, which is crazy. They went with the ragtag, like, who are these castaways in the trade deadline, and that might work 1 out of 100 times, but they hit it. They got lightning in a bottle and it all worked. And then they lose Charlie Morton, and yet they still somehow come through on this. They're set up. Acuna makes no money. Ozzie Albies makes no money whatsoever. They have young talent coming up as well. They should be a force because I have no faith in the Phillies with Dave Dombrowski. I have no faith in Washington. I think they're financially strained. Strasburg's going to hang above them like a black cloud. The Mets, if they ever get a GM or if Steve Cohen has to do it himself, I think it's kind of their division to run with at this point. And unless they have an extreme like 2019 Red Sox World Series, you know, we're still drunk off champagne hangover. I can see them being in the NLCS pretty easily.
What happens if they lose Freddie Freeman? Does everyone still feel
that
same?
Ain't happening?
I don't think Freddie.
They ain't gonna.
They would
have
to insult him and be like, "Your family can't come to the games." I think that's the only way they
figured,
would lose him.
Just figured I would throw that out there, try to draw a little controversy. You know,
Charlie, who was your pick?
Oh, hey, T. Thanks, bud. I ended up going with the Mets here. I was the only one. I was solo dolo here. Everyone went with one team. I was the lone soldier here. I wanted the Mets, and I thought the Mets had it. I thought as far as the rotation went, I felt really good about Thor coming back and being a force once he was healthy. Mix that in with Jake DeGrom. I thought the NL East was a lock with those two. And I ended up getting punished for it. I gave Jake DeGrom some rope, and he took more and hung me with it. I made a trade for him in fantasy baseball in a league that Job and Terry and I are in, and he didn't even throw one pitch. I traded away a fifth, a seventh, and a ninth to get Jake DeGrom, who did not pitch for my team. Anyways, I thought that, yeah, it was bad. It was bad. Or 5th, 9th, and 11th, because I traded my 7th for a player with Job, who also didn't do anything. I just had a really bad string of trades this year. Anyways, Mets, I thought they had it going on outside of their issues, like with management and GMs making mistakes and all sorts of hullabaloo going on. I just felt, you know, this team does have the talent. And unfortunately, they just couldn't stay healthy. And that's the problem. If you can't stay healthy, you can't win games.
The Mets are always going to be a perennial dumpster fire. I mean, you had Lindor fighting McNeil, and then you had players fighting fans by August, and Steve Cohen's basically pouring gasoline on his own team. And
did you see the details that came out like a few hours ago about that?
No. What happened?
About Lindor McNeil. Lindor grabbed him by the throat, apparently, during that altercation. Yeah, that came out earlier.
Wow. He doesn't strike me as that type of a guy. And McNeil's always been known as a hothead, apparently, behind the scenes. So that is a little bit surprising. But my pick, I didn't really – I was supremely confident that the Braves would win this division. They have the best roster. I think after seeing this season, I think Alex Anthopoulos might be the top general manager, president, whatever, in Major League Baseball. I mean, he built the Blue Jays up pretty good before ultimately leaving them for Atlanta, and he's built a really solid roster in Atlanta from, you know, the rotation with Morton, Anderson, Freed, Soroka, if he ever comes back, and the bullpen ended up being really solid, and I think Brian Snitker is a very even-keeled manager who can navigate a team through a season, and that whole outfield that played in the World Series wasn't even on their spring training roster. I mean, they traded for Peterson. He was a bench guy, albeit, but then they got Jorge Soler from the Royals, who ended up winning the World Series MVP. And I'm missing one more. Eddie Rosario. They got him. They got him from the Twins. So that whole outfield wasn't even there in the first half.
And when they bought in, Terry, I agree with you, because when they bought in was right after Acuna got hurt, and everyone went, okay, here comes the sell-off.
Right, and that's when they got Peterson. Yeah.
And they went and got Jocktober, and it worked out pretty well.
So I can't be any more impressed with that organization, and I agree with you guys. I can't see them really losing it. They could be on one of those runs where they won the division, what, 16 years in a row, something like that, something crazy. Probably won't get that high again, but I can't see anybody overtaking them for quite some time. So that was Braves for me. Let's move over to the National League Central. Job, your pick?
So I'm going to be honest. I have to scroll back here because I put the sheet away. But I do remember getting it wrong. So I went with the Cardinals for this pick. I think a lot of people thought the Cardinals were going to have it. I did not project them to win 16 straight games in September. But I just thought that they had more pieces on offense than any other team. They had the veteran leadership. And I really did think they had no competition in their division to make it tough. And I can tell Charlie is smiling over there because I know he got this one right. I still think they're the best team in the NL Central. And I will pick them again next year, barring changes.
Jason.
Yeah, I also picked the Cardinals. I was a big Mike Schilt guy, and the fact that he has now been dismissed, I can't say I'm going to pick the Cardinals again next year because it's going to depend on who they bring in. I also thought the addition of Nolan Arenado would have more of an impact. It really kind of didn't. He didn't have a bad year necessarily, but he's just kind of another guy. It was really more about Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader, the strides that those guys made on offense. They became superstars. The problem with the Cardinals is that they didn't have the pitching to keep up. I mean, you're having Adam Wainwright pitching your best games in the postseason, or, you know, leading up to the postseason. Like, that's not good enough. You need to have another
40 years old.
Yeah, like you need to have another young stud that kind of, you know, makes his way forward. And the Cardinals seem to always produce pitching every year. This is the one year they really kind of didn't, and that might have been their downfall. And I'll admit, I underestimated the pitching of the Milwaukee Brewers. I did not think that Woodruff and Burns and Peralta, those guys, would deliver the way that they did. So I think Milwaukee just outpitched St. Louis down the stretch. St. Louis made a good run of it. I was kind of pulling for them when they got into that wild card game, but it just wasn't enough. And I was kind of shocked to see that Schilt got dismissed at the end of that. But I think it shows that, you know, they were kind of just a miracle team to begin with. They were never set up for a sustained run. And next year, I don't know. I'm not sure I can really pick them in good faith, because they've got to fix that rotation. They've got to fix the rotation and their bullpen before I can have faith that the Cardinals will be back, because I don't think the Brewers are going anywhere. So disappointing year for them. I mean, all that being said, you know, the winning streak was great, but I feel like they should have gone deeper than they did. So it was a little bit of a disappointment for me.
Andrew.
Yeah, here's another team that had to go on an absolutely ridiculous run to make this pick look halfway decent. I also had the Cardinals. A lot of it had to do with Jack Flaherty going down. That definitely hurt them. Him only starting 15 games this year, throwing like 70 innings, something like that. He was supposed to be their ace, and that's just absolutely critical of a loss for them. Like Jason, I was a big believer in Nolan, having, you know, watched him countless times out here. And he didn't do a ton. And I thought, you know, you got a free year of him. Colorado somehow is paying for him. He had 34 home runs, but he only had 255, which is a downfall. I thought him and Goldschmidt were going to just, you know, balance, just carry each other and play off each other in that lineup with, you know, protection that neither of them had before. Didn't work out that way. They're going to be a year older. Good for Wainwright for getting, like, $19 million or whatever that is next year. It's definitely a swan song. If they're in the hunt, they're going to have to go all in next year because, you know, that's their last dance.
Charlie.
Hey, boys. I remember.
Big moment, man.
This is it, man. I mean, this is my, you guys can all come to my party because this is all Brewer City. I called it from the get-go. I was high on this team. There was only a couple of pieces I felt that was keeping this from being an absolute lock to going ALCS. This is going to be my pick next year too. They don't have, even if they lose a piece or two, they're still the best team in this division. My favorite National League pitcher is on this team, and he's been pitching for what feels like 6 minutes. But Corbin Burns, what Brandon Woodruff was able to do, even the guys that aren't as well known, Lauer and
Peralta.
Hauser. Peralta's known, but Hauser and Lauer are not as well known. Burns wasn't as well known before last year, and now he won't be forgotten. He started the season off and broke the record for the most consecutive strikeouts without walking a batter, which I think was broken a day later by Garrett Cole, but we don't know if he did it genuinely or not. This team was absolutely insane, and I think it could have only been even more insane if Christian Yelich had remembered how to hit the ball and not been injured. This team was just insane, absolutely insane. And they added Rowdy Tellez, which is great because then we don't have to face him in Toronto anymore, so it was a double victory there.
I picked the Cardinals like most of you. And I've always liked the Brewers a lot, so I kind of do regret not thinking about this one a little bit harder than I did. I thought Jack Flaherty could be a top three Cy Young guy, and Wainwright would be solid enough, and like you guys, the Arenado acquisition was huge. I mean, you've got Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt on both sides of your infield. I mean, that's, I know Goldschmidt's kind of faded from his Arizona days, but you never know. They could have that one big season. Both are Gold Glovers too, by the way. So I feel like I slept on the Brewers. The big revelation for me on the Brewers this year was Peralta. I mean, Woodruff's had some good years, and Burns had a little bit of hype coming into the season. More on him later. But I feel like I whiffed on that one. I love the Brewers, and I think Craig Counsell is probably the best manager in the National League. The way he navigates his pitching staffs, and the team always seems to play for him. So, good job by the Brewers, but I took the Cardinals, and who knows? And I was a big Mike Schilt guy as well, and was really surprised that he was released at the end of the year. So it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I think he's definitely going to have a job somewhere. But, all right, so let's move over to the NL West. Probably not going to spend a ton of time on this division, but Job, who did you pick?
Well, this is our first unanimous pick for the show, and it's the first time we're all going to eat humble pie. So let's run through this real quick. We all picked the Dodgers. Obvious reasons. Not only did they have, the best offense in baseball on paper, they also had the best pitching staff on paper, and then they went out and got Turner and Scherzer from the Nationals. But the San Francisco Giants just absolutely hung with them every step of the way. And that was a slugfest. What a great NLDS that was. It's a shame it wasn't a 7-game series. I will be picking the Dodgers probably for the next 2 seasons. So I don't know that there's much change in there.
Jason.
Yeah. As Joe said, we all picked the Dodgers. I just thought they were so stacked. There's no way they're not going to win it again. The Giants ended up surprising all of us. Good for them. It was great to see. I personally loved it. I loved the run that they went on. Unfortunately, I agree with Job. I'll probably pick the Dodgers again next year because Buster Posey just retired. I think that the Giants are going to go through some changes here. I don't see them going on another run like they did this year. I think they're going to take a step back. The Padres, I think they're still such an immature team, and they still have growing to do. And I don't know if that's going to happen over an offseason. I don't think they're going to be ready by next year. The Rockies are a million miles away. The Diamondbacks are a million miles away. So I feel like this is the Dodgers division going forward. I feel like they missed out on it this year, but they'll be right back in it next year. So get ready. I'll probably pick them again next year.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy that it took Dustin May getting hurt, Kershaw going down, Trevor Bauer being a scumbag for all of us to like miss being unanimously right by a game. And that's kind of ridiculous. And yeah, the Giants, if they won what, 106 this year, if they're projected to win 82 next year, I'll be surprised. They're losing their best player in Posey, probably Gausman. And I don't know what else they plan on to, patchwork the rest of that. I don't see it. So, yeah, congrats to the Dodgers.
They're losing 3/5 of their rotation.
That's absurd. Yeah, that's not sustainable for a team that doesn't spend that much. Oh, Chris Bryant, too. I don't see any way that a Dodgers team, which they're going to lose Seager, but replace him with a better player in Turner. It's a juggernaut system that luckily seems to be slowing down a little bit. All their international free agent non-cap year players are slowly fading, but they're still a force to be reckoned with.
Charlie.
I really don't want to waste too much time on the Dodgers. The team was stacked to begin with. Andrew touched up on some of the pieces. Job touched up on some of the other pieces, like the additions that they made. This team was like a broken team, like 99 across the board, and it was like an all-star team. You could have put up whoever, you could put the Nash or the American League All-Stars against the Dodgers, and that would have been a fun 7-game series. That's how good they were. I can't deviate from them next year. I think that's going to be another sure bet fire pick for me too. Even if they lose a pick or two, it's still not going to matter. The Dodgers are going to be an absolute force. They're going to win 100 games again, and it's not even going to be close. They'll probably lead the division by 10-plus as well.
The Dodgers actually won 106, the Giants 107. So, I mean, the Dodgers did what we thought they would do, which is win well over 100. It was just the Giants had this dream season, and all the stars aligned, and they were able to win the race, to win the division. And I think the Dodgers probably will win, next year and perhaps the year after. But the Bob Melvin effect in San Diego will be interesting. I feel like he's a respectable manager. The clubhouse is going to fall in line. There shouldn't be any shenanigans. So that's not going to be enough for me to pick them to beat the Dodgers. But it's going to be something interesting to watch, and be interesting to see if Bauer pitches at all in 2023. I think that's a long shot, but still.
Just picked up his option today.
He did. Right. Yeah. His $45 million
option. I think Bauer's career is over, but the Dodgers are going to be paying him no matter what.
Most likely, yeah. I mean, even if I'm not convinced he's actually going to be charged, but that picture, just the face picture of his victim is gruesome and tough to look at, and he's not going to overcome the optics of that to resume his career, I don't think, regardless of what happens on the criminal side of it. But all right, so that concludes our division picks. So let's move on to who we thought would be the wild card teams on each side. We'll start with the American League side. Job, who were your two teams you thought would be playing that game?
Well, so correct me if I'm wrong, because I only have one of these in front of me, and that's the Oakland Athletics. I believe my other was the Boston Red Sox, but I could be wrong there.
Charlie has
the Yankees. Yeah, so, Job, you had the Yankees and you had the A's.
Okay, so I had the Yankees and the A's. Yankees, obviously, we talked about why they weren't good. Gallo and Rizzo just didn't pan out, injuries there. And also, the Yankees just aren't a good organization. The Athletics, we talked a little bit about them. We're doing divisions. They just didn't capitalize on opportunities. They were right there to the end. They were within three games with 15 to go, and they just didn't have that finish factor. And part of that is probably you lose your ace to a very scary injury, head injury, in Chris Bassitt. And the other part of that is it seemed like some of these guys on the A's were tired of buying into Oakland A's baseball and were ready to cash in some contracts. Matt Olson, for example, just didn't look like he cared at the end there, frankly. It looked like he's just ready to go sign a monster deal with a team that can contend. So I stand by those picks. I think I will probably not pick either of those teams to make the playoffs next year.
Jason, who were your two American League picks?
Okay, so Charlie, help me out. I had the White Sox against who?
You had, Jason, the White Sox and the Rays.
Okay. Whoops. Okay. So I had two playoff teams just in the wrong spot necessarily. So unlike Job, I can say that these two teams, I think, will absolutely be in it next year. The Rays are always seemingly in it. The White Sox, I think, unless the American League Central really shapes up, they'll be running that division again next year. So again, I didn't have a ton of faith in the operations there. I probably should have had more, but yeah, White Sox and Rays are going to be around for a while. I think the White Sox more so than the Rays. I could see the Rays at some point taking a step back, especially if the Red Sox, Yankees, Blue Jays, they really all decide to spend some money, really beef up their rosters. I think at some point the low budget thing just will catch up with the Rays. But the White Sox, for sure, they've got a hold on the AL Central until one of those teams steps up. So had them in there, just in the wrong spot.
Andrew.
I had the Twins because I thought they'd beat up on a lot of the AL Central teams for the same reason I thought the White Sox would. And Jason was kind of – he had all the points I would have brought up with Berrios. And, just that offense has potential, but, Buxton setting the table can never stay healthy. When he is, he's an MVP candidate. And then I had the Red Sox, and I was my whole, shtick the whole offseason was positive regression, and that's what happened. Players showed that 2020 was just a joke. They didn't care. and they all went back to their 2018, 2019 selves. You know, all the players that were, you know, on the roster in the, on those squads. And that's what happened. And I'm glad I picked them. And I think that they'll probably be very similar for win total next year, if not a hair better.
Charlie.
So for the first playoff team, I actually had the Indians, and that's why I didn't feel that crazy when you mentioned them to be your division pick. The second team that I had was the Athletics. I didn't think the Athletics were going to be as crazy sellers, even though we all know what the A's do. The Indians fell victim to major injuries to their starting rotation and arguably what was supposed to be one of the better closers in James Karinchak. Karinchak ended up falling apart and had the yips. I know we're not supposed to talk about it, but he just could not pitch. And one of his worst games of the season was against the Red Sox. He ended up getting optioned to AAA. But they lost Shane Bieber. They lost Plesac for a little bit. And it was just one thing after another for Cleveland. They couldn't stay healthy. Things just were not going well. I feel like the whole season it was the Jose Ramirez and Framil Reyes show. No one else did anything for that team. It just – two guys can't carry an entire team. And when your major hitters are struggling and your rotation isn't your rotation, you have a subpar team. And the crazy thing about it all was they lost Bieber for a majority of the season. I forget how many total games he pitched, 15, 10. I don't even remember. It didn't feel like that many. And he was leading the league with strikeouts by like 20 for like a month. And then he got passed up, and even a month later, he was still in the top five. That's how good he was this year. The crazy thing was Chicago finished 13 games above the Indians. If Bieber and Plesac had been healthy, I think Chicago probably only wins by about four or five. That's how confident I feel about Bieber being an absolute star on that team. But they're going to have to add some pieces. Cleveland can't continue to sell everything off, or they're going to lose all their fans like some of the other fan bases.
Well, and now the here's A's, the thing about Cleveland, though, Charlie. Like, question about Cleveland. They're going to – they have DeMarco Hale, sure, but they lost Terry Francona, who's one of the best managers I think all of us can agree in baseball.
I think they were gone by – well out of it by then anyway. And he will be back next year.
Right. Go ahead, Charlie. And then the A's, per what Job was saying about how they made a move that, you know, I guess in hindsight, 2020, you don't really know what you're going to get, but trading away Lizardo to get Marte left me kind of wondering what was going on there.
Oh, Kim A won this midseason trade.
There's no question. But those are my two picks. So Terry, I know you have your two picks in front of you as well.
Yeah. So I went with the White Sox and the Astros as my wild card participants. So they ended up being good teams. Jason's two teams were also playoff teams, just not in the right spot. But with the Astros, like I said, them and the A's, I really, really struggled with who I thought would win the division, and I thought so highly of both teams that one of them was going to be my wild card team, and in this case it was the Astros, and I just thought the White Sox were going to be good enough to at least make the wild card. So that's where I went there. Let's move over to our National League wild card picks. Job, who did you have?
I know for a fact I had the San Diego Padres. I want to think it's the New York Mets. Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong.
As you my got other it, boss.
Wild card team.
Mets and Pods.
Yeah, the Padres have too much talent to continue to, frankly, underperform. They traded for two former Cy Youngs, Blake Snell, in the offseason, and then later Yu Darvish. And frankly, I think a lot of people thought that they were going to contend for a World Series, myself included. And that kind of just cratered. They absolutely did not have a good clubhouse presence. Fernando Tatis Jr. is a superstar. There's no doubt about it. He is one of probably the two most popular players in the league for young guys and will be the face of the league for a long time. But he was hurt, could not stay healthy with that shoulder injury. And their pitching, frankly, without sticky stuff wasn't that impressive. So Larry Rothschild has been dismissed. They have hired Bob Melvin. I expect some correction to the mean there. I think the Padres will be a good team going forward. The Mets, I mean, I will resonate with what Jason said earlier when he talked about the Mets for the division. Some of the parts is just not as good as the parts individually. It's they have some great talent that just could not put it together.
Jason.
So one half of this is going to look good. I had the San Diego Padres facing off against the Miami Marlins as my NL wild card. So the Padres, Job touched on it. They've got a ton of talent. You know, Rothschild is out. Bob Melvin is in as manager. I think they're going to be back. I think there's no doubt about that. They've got way too much talent to not be back. So fine. The Miami Marlins. Okay. So I looked at that roster in the preseason. I thought, you know what? It's not the worst roster I've ever seen. And I like some of their young pitching. Here's the problem. Starling Marte got traded. Adam Duvall got traded. And then you look at their pitching. It was like Alcantara pitched as much as you expected him to. But Trevor Rogers, I think, who is probably their best guy, only made 25 starts. Pablo Lopez, only 20. And then from there, it just really fell off. Their pitching never stayed healthy. Their young guys were good, but they weren't quite hitting their stride. Guys like Jazz Chisholm, who they expected to really take a big step forward in their first year, just he was good, but he didn't take that massive step forward. And they just couldn't keep up with the Mets and the Braves. So,
well, Jason, you also forgot about Sixto Sanchez. You forgot to bring up the kind of that biggest piece.
Yeah, so Sixto, that was a tough blow early on. That was a guy that I expected to have like Cy Young votes at some point, and that got nuked pretty quick. So, yeah, look, I still think the Marlins are going to be there. I'm not writing them off by any means. They've absolutely got so much young talent. They do need to add a few more veteran pieces. I would like to see them spend a little bit of money to beef up that lineup, and not just on like 1 year contracts for guys who are going to trade away at the deadline. Like, let's get in, let's actually dip into the free agent market and get some legit talent in here on multi-year contracts and put this thing together. I think they could do that, but ultimately I still think the Marlins are the third team in the East, maybe even the fourth if Philadelphia really starts to pick up steam. So look, I took a flyer on them. I liked their roster. I liked the direction they were going in. I just didn't expect them to kind of pack it in so quickly and become sellers as quickly as they did. So that was a shame. Padres, I think they'll be right back there next year. So could I pick the Padres as a wild card team next year? Yeah, absolutely.
Andrew?
Yeah, I went with the Padres, who I had full confidence in. I mean, it's hard not to when you add God knows how many all-stars to that squad, sign the best international free agent that wants to come to the U.S., and, you know, you're rotating in all-stars at, you know, God knows what position. And that didn't really work out that well. And then my other one was the Mets, and that was mainly for the pitching, but that was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. I don't know what's going to go on with them. I don't think they know what's going to go on with them. I do think I will still pick the Padres next year, and I respect Jason's Marlins pick. They have so much talent coming up through the pipeline, especially in the pitching department. They could turn around really quickly. All their top prospects are legitimate, like number one, number two starters. So we haven't heard the last of them.
Charlie.
So, Andrew, I appreciate you, giving Jason his due by thanking him for the Marlins pick. And I appreciate you giving me my due quietly about the Angels, too. I know you didn't say it publicly, but I know deep down you were like, yes, good pick, Charlie. My two picks, I had the Padres, but above them I had the Braves. And I had the Braves as my number one NL wild card just because I know I got grief for picking the Mets over the Braves here. The Braves have a ridiculous team, and I thought it was going to be disgusting with Acuña. I didn't, you know, when it came to making picks for who we thought was going to be the best player, I don't blame anybody for making Acuña the guy, because the kid has a lot of talent. They have a ridiculous rotation. They have a lot of young guys that have incredible talent. Ozzie Albies, underrated. Austin Riley, everyone knows who that is now. And then we already know what Dansby Swanson can do. This team is just fun to watch, fun to play. It's going to be hard to not pick the Braves to be your West guy. I mean, Marlins could be it, but I mean, I think silly if I didn't at least heavily consider making my Braves, or making the Braves, not my Braves, making the Braves the NL East pick there.
I also had the Padres, and I'll probably be picking them next year with you guys. I don't know how I feel about them long term. I mean, AJ Preller can't be selling half the farm every trade deadline. I don't see how sustainable that is. Eventually, he's going to have to commit to his roster, commit to some of his prospects, and we'll see. But, I mean, they're kind of trending towards the Mets of the West, because this year was a massive disappointment. They were the most disappointing team of anyone in baseball right now for all the talent that they have. So, again, I love Bob Melvin. I think he's probably going to be the best get as far as new managers this year. And hopefully for their sake, they'll turn it around and continue to be a fun team. My other team was the Phillies. I think I don't know how I feel about them next year, but I thought perhaps for a year or two, three at the most, Dave Dombrowski would sell off the whole farm, give them a decent enough roster, and I thought it would possibly get them into the wild card this past year. And I mean, they were contending for the division as late as the end of August, and the Braves just went on that magical run, and the Phillies couldn't get it together. And I expect the Phillies to play a lot better under a guy named Joe Girardi, and it just hasn't happened. That's been a disappointment, you know, I think, as far as how they performed under him. He typically gets a lot out of his players, and just hasn't happened. The Bryce Harper era isn't going good. I mean, they haven't made the playoffs once. So Padres Phillies was my pick. Neither of them made it. So double whiff for me. Let's go to our World Series picks. You know, the pennant winners for each side. Job, we'll go with you. What was your World Series matchup?
Sure. So my World Series matchup, I didn't get either of the teams correct. I had, and Charlie, I know you're the official records keeper here, so feel free to tell me I'm wrong. But I had the White Sox and the Padres, and I believe I had the Padres winning that matchup. We talked about both those teams, so I'm not going to break it down so much. But I just thought young talent wins in this league. It's the new era of baseball. We've seen teams like the Rays now compete because they have young talent. I thought Chicago had young talent and cheap pitching, and I thought the Padres were going to be the next dynasty out west, but that they were going to have to get lucky against the Dodgers. So that was my matchup in the World Series, 0-2.
Jason?
Yeah, I had the Yankees versus the Dodgers, and I had the Dodgers winning. Again, I just went with sort of big market versus big market, money versus money. I certainly didn't foresee the Dodgers spending as much as they did, and by spending, I mean trading away as many prospects as they did, getting Turner and Max Scherzer. In all honesty, I couldn't have told you that I expected a Max Scherzer versus Gerrit Cole potential World Series matchup, although I think that would have been awesome. But it didn't happen because both teams choked. And I say choked because I think both teams had the talent and the means to get to the World Series. Maybe the Dodgers more so than the Yankees, because I think that the Dodgers are a little bit more put together, a little bit more of a professional outfit. I think the Yankees still, that leadership is not great there. But they had the talent. They just both kind of choked. So in terms of next year, I expect the Dodgers to be right back. I don't think, you know, I think they, their window, as small as it is, it's still kind of open. The Yankees, I said it earlier, I don't know what that team's going to do. I think they've got a lot of issues going forward. And I thought one of them was their manager, and they brought his stupid ass back. So they'll probably do the same thing next year, and they won't make the playoffs. So I don't imagine the Yankees will be one of my favorite picks next year, but the Dodgers, yeah, absolutely. They'll be back.
Yeah, this was back-to-back for me and Jason. I had the Yankees versus the Dodgers, who just felt inevitable. I mean, you looked at the Dodgers going into the season, and it was like, oh, their long man is going to be David Price. Like, come on, that's absurd. And they were trying to figure out how to, you know, where will we even pitch Tony Gonsolin? And it was just an embarrassment of riches. They signed Corey Knebel. And how do you do that? So they could have made every game legitimately a five-inning game. That's all they needed. And injuries reared their ugly head. That's pretty much all that held this team down. Urias took a huge step forward. I think Dustin May probably would have. I think they would have felt really good about the direction of their team post-Kershaw. I don't even know how you can say post-Bauer. But with Walker Buehler, you know, taking over that number one starter slot, I think that they're going to be the favorite next year. No matter what happens with Bellinger, I think there's a lot of questions with him. If does he get tendered a contract? There's a lot of questions regarding that. But I think their pitching is going to be the best in the league once again.
Charlie?
For me, I went with the two teams that on paper seem to be the two teams that deserved or bought the best teams, and that was the Dodgers in the National League, which we all for the most part felt was the best team in all of baseball. And then I went with the White Sox because I went with sheer talent, sheer firepower, both on the mound and at the plate. And to me, it just, we've already talked about it. The Chicago White Sox are going to be a team to be, they're going to be a force. They're going to be a force in the American League, and the Dodgers will continue to be a force on the National League. The Dodgers were able to do everything they were able to do, even with all of the drama and injuries and suspensions and everything. And they still won 106 games, and one of their starters wasn't even there for half the season. So it's not a far cry to say, yeah, I could see those two teams being the final two for me again, just because those teams are, again, going to be insane.
I had, oh my God, here it comes, ladies and gentlemen, the biggest boneheaded pick of this whole show. I had the Indians going to the World Series. It was bad enough I picked them to win the division. I thought we were going to see some magical stuff with the pitching. I thought the offense, again, would figure it out. I don't want to spend any more time embarrassing myself. I've already admitted it was the dumbest pick that any of us made. And I'm going to try not to be that guy next year. And then the Dodgers, I mean, you guys went over a lot of it. You lose Kershaw. You lose Bauer to all that creepiness. 37-year-old Max Scherzer ran out of gas in the NLCS. Walker Buehler had probably his worst career playoff series. In two starts, only lasted 7 2/3 innings, gave up 6 earned runs, wasn't sharp, and the entire team basically stopped hitting in that series. The offense was anemic for as potent as it should have been, and so they fell a little short. I thought maybe Dave Roberts, maybe they would move on from him finally, but I don't think that's going to happen at this point. I think it already would have, but... So I don't feel bad about that pick. I mean, most of us had them going and bonehead Indians pick. And, I won't be, boldly picking them to do much next year. Let's move on. We just got a couple of categories left. I'm kind of impressed. We're at the hour and 8 minute mark, kind of moving right through it. Let's go with our Cy Young winners. Why don't we just do both sides all at once? So, Job, who did you have as your AL and NL Cy Young winners?
Sure. So I went with Lucas Giolito in the American League side. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. We all thought the White Sox were going to dominate. He's supposed to be their ace. He had what most would describe as an off year. He was not the best pitcher on that staff, let alone in the American League. Wasn't really even in the conversation after May, based on the start that he got off to. But I do expect him to bounce back. He'll be in the conversation probably when we have, you know, this episode in the spring. On the National League side of it, I think I had the most out there pick. I went with Ian Anderson, who I think should have pitched better down the stretch. He did come out hot, and in May, people were talking about him being in the running alongside another player we're going to talk about in a moment here. But he ended the season with a 3.58 ERA. He got a World Series ring, so he could care less about the Cy Young. But I do expect him to, over the next two seasons, emerge as one of the best pitchers in baseball, and I think he'll win a Cy Young over the course of that time.
Jason, both your picks.
So for the American League, I won't spend much time on it. I had Shane Bieber. Unfortunately, he was hurt most of the year. When he's healthy, he's one of the best, but he was not healthy this year. I expect him to bounce back next year, but right off for this season. And for the National League, I had Walker Buehler, who was fantastic this year, 16-4, ERA under 3. He was lights out. I thought he was probably the best pitcher on the Dodgers staff until Scherzer got there in the last month and a half or so. Unfortunately, in the playoffs, he was disappointing. He was not as good as he could have been. But Walker Buehler is going to be contending for the Cy Young. I don't think he's going to win it. I think he's going to fall just short. But he was fantastic this year. He's really coming into his prime. He's going to get more Cy Young votes as the years go on. He'll probably end up winning one at some point. He's just that damn good. So unfortunate for Bieber, but Walker Buehler, he was awesome this year.
Andrew.
Yeah, I also went Lucas Giolito. I thought he had a very good chance of being the best pitcher, obviously, since I picked him. That's kind of redundant, but I thought he was going to take a huge step forward. I thought he was mismanaged a few times, quite frankly. We saw him get left out on the mound at Fenway for absolutely no reason by La Russa when he was, I think he had given like 7 runs up in like 3 innings. And that obviously doesn't help the candidacy. And I don't know, he just had a weird year. I fully believe he'll bounce back next year. And then my second pick was the perennial favorite, Jacob DeGrom. His numbers were freaking stupid. He put up a 5 WAR in only 15 games. I actually didn't know that was humanly possible until I just looked it up. I was like, I had to like look down. I was like, wait, did he pitch more than I thought? No, he pitched 15 games and had a WAR of 5. That is absurd. I don't recall him giving up any runs other than the time the Red Sox went. They beat him 1-0. It was either Pavetta or Garrett Richards faced him in arguably the best Red Sox game of the year. He'll be back, and he'll be providing all of his own offense yet again next season.
Charlie.
This is the moment that you have all been waiting for. So my two picks, I had Bieber. I was high on the Biebs, and I was high on someone that, Andrew, I do not recall your direct quote, but I believe it was along the lines of, are you effing crazy or something like that? Because I was the only one that picked him. And here's the thing. Andrew has been right the most out of everybody in this group, and it's not even close. He's been right more than probably the next two combined. But I got Corbin Burnes right. So I will take my one victory this year right now. Corbin Burnes was absolutely lights out. One run allowed through the first 4 games, and that was a solo home run. He had one hitters through his first 2 games, and everyone's like, it's whatever. It's still early. This guy was fire. Literally the most fun pitcher to watch. And if he had a little bit more run support in some of these other games, there's no way that Corbin Burnes doesn't win 15 or 16 games. And here's the best part. Corbin Burnes should have won 15 games this year in the games he played. That's not even counting the five games he didn't play because he was injured. So this guy is probably going to be my NL Cy Young next year too, and I hope he breaks Garrett Cole's record for most strikeouts in a row without a walk. This was the happiest pick I made all year, along with the Milwaukee Brewers, because when you pick someone that no one else really knows about, or you're picking someone that people don't feel that confident about, it feels good to get one really, really right, and that was Corbin Burns. I would love for him to come on the show for 5 minutes just to be like, what's good? He's just exciting, and I would love to see him, you know, pitch in Boston one day. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't remember saying that. I admittedly blacked out during my, like, Juan Soto rant. But, yeah, Corbin Burns had a great year. And I'm looking at his stats right now. He had a 5.7 war. That just makes the DeGrom thing even more absurd, because Burns deserves the Cy Young. And, I don't know the numbers I was just looking at there.
DeGrom went off when he was healthy. Corbin Burns went off. And I think part of the reason why he did what he did was because not a lot of teams had the blueprint on him. The guy was going six innings, striking out 10 guys. It felt like he did that like every single game. It was like six innings, 10 strikeouts, six innings, 10 strikeouts. I think on paper, because I drafted him in fantasy baseball in both leagues because I love this guy, he had more games where he pitched six innings and that's it, as opposed to six and a third, six and two thirds, five and two thirds, five innings, or if he got rocked, because he only had like one or two bad games this season. His ERA was under 2.5. His whip was 0.94. He had 240 some odd strikeouts, and he won, I think, 11 games this year. I'd have to look back, but one of my favorite players in baseball, and this is what's good for the game. These young kids that no one knows about. Anderson, the pick by Job was also special. It was also great because, admittedly so, I didn't know that much about him, and I was pretty excited to see him pitch a couple extra games after the regular season was over. I'm really happy with some of the picks that we made, and I like that there was major variety too.
I went with the popular American League pick with Lucas Giolito. Andrew did make some good points. La Russa hung him out to dry a couple of times. There were even a couple of games in the seventh inning where he had a close lead and was still in there when he probably shouldn't have been. So there were multiple times where he was hung out to dry. He had a mid-threes ERA. Wasn't super spectacular, but still pretty solid, and helped them get that runaway first place win in the AL Central. So he'll be back. I thought his upward trajectory would just kind of meet the team's upward trajectory, and sail to the top of the Cy Young voting. But we'll see. He's going to be a perennial contender. Big whiff on my second one. I didn't have a great season as far as any of this went. I think the last full season, 2019, I picked five out of the six division winners. The Phillies was my only wrong one. I had them winning the Central. But my whiff in the Cy Young National League side, I had Aaron Nola. He had an ugly 4.63 ERA. Wasn't even the best pitcher on his team. That was Zach Wheeler, who may win the Cy Young. Who knows if Burns doesn't win it. But we'll see. But not great there. Let's get over to the MVPs. Job, who did you have winning?
Well, I had probably the two worst picks of all of us.
I did. No, I think I did.
On both sides. I went with Yon Moncada of the Chicago White Sox on the American League side, who had a good season. But not MVP worthy. Wasn't even probably in the top 10. Probably won't be finishing with any MVP votes. So that's unfortunate. And on the National League side of it, I went with Fernando Tatis Jr., who couldn't stay healthy with that shoulder. And we talked already about the implosion that was the San Diego Padres. I thought, he was going to carry them to the next level of national stardom. and his swagger and electricity was going to basically bring the Padres to a national favorite to win for years to come. And unfortunately, just wasn't healthy, didn't get it done.
Jason.
So I had, for the American League, I had Aaron Judge, and the National League, I had Ronald Acuna. So we all know what happened with Acuna. He got hurt, missed the rest of the year. So he was out automatically. Honestly, Aaron Judge, I don't feel like was too far off. He had a great year. He was probably the only representable Yankee on that offense. 287, just shy of 40 homers. He hit 39 this year. But he was dynamite. He was probably the only Yankee that was worth watching this year, at least on offense. The problem is that Vladdy Jr. and Shohei Ohtani just went off this year and decided to have their own two-horse race and left everyone else in the dust. So Aaron Judge was great. I want the Yankees to trade him so bad because I actually like the guy. I like the guy as a player. I hate seeing him wasted on the Yankees. Like, I want him to go to a team where, like, he's actually appreciated and he matters. I feel like Yankee fans don't appreciate him enough. Aaron Judge is a really good player, and I know we're supposed to hate him because he's a Yankee, but he's probably the one guy they always say, if you could take one player from the Yankees and swap him, you know, who would you do? Like, Aaron Judge is the guy I would take from them, absolutely 100%. He's a really good player. He stayed healthy for pretty much all this year. He played 148 games. So, you know, you can't really knock him for the health thing anymore. Again, he just was unlucky because Vlad Jr. and Ohtani just went off this year. So, Acuna, he'll be back. He'll be healthy again. He'll be back. He's an absolute stud. So I expect him to be right back in the MVP race in the National League next year. So I like both these guys. I don't see them going anywhere.
So with mine, I'm fairly confident that I hit the AL one. I picked Shohei Ohtani. I thought he was going to have a good season. I didn't think he was going to have this good of a season, but I thought just in the day age of baseball we're in with war kind of dominating the awards and kind of the notoriety and all the writers kind of being in on that, I thought just the, you know, the accumulation between his pitching and hitting would add up, and it absolutely did. With, you know, he had a 9 WAR this year, which is ridiculously good, but he also was the talk of the league. I was at the All-Star game, the Home Run Derby. The amount of international media that was there just for him, it was unbelievable, quite frankly, and that's what the game needs. So he absolutely will be the cover of baseball next year. Hopefully he stays healthy. And then for the NL, I picked Ted Williams. Juan Soto. Juan Soto is absurd. I don't need to go on about this. He literally just turned 23 in only 464 games. He's already got, I think, a total like 20 WAR. That's not – that doesn't happen. And no one was even pitching to him this year. It was Barry Bonds-esque with his intentional walks, which have pretty much been eliminated from baseball at this point. If he gets protection in the lineup, this guy could win 5 MVPs hands down. The sky's the limit for him. He's going to be baseball's first $500 million player. He's not even going to ask for 4. And I hope he stays healthy because he's great for the game. And this is what we need. This is the player that we need in the game to get young people interested in it.
Charlie?
So I wanted to say that Andrew and I, typically we disagree on a lot, but we were both 100%, 150% in on Juan Soto. I just have his Andrew's voice in my head saying, I love Juan Soto. I would give the farm up for him. I want the Red Sox to make a move for him. Everything's about Juan Soto. That's how good this guy is. Even after missing a ridiculous number of games, Juan Soto actually the second to last month of the regular season, ended up walking 35 times, was hitting 404, and I don't even know how many of them were intentional. He had 4 games where he got walked 3 times or more. That's literally insane. So I had him for my my National League MVP, and I, truth be told, I didn't think it was going to happen halfway through the season because he just wasn't there. And I had Mike Trout, who literally was not there. So I completely ate it on the first one, but was happy that Juan Soto was able to turn it around. As far as the picks went, literally, Andrew had 5 right. The next 2 people combined had 6. So he literally did do the best out of all 5 of us. Incredible. So, Andrew, well done.
Here we go. I'll start with the one I don't feel that bad about. Mookie Betts was my National League MVP. I just thought there was enough offense around him and he was just going to have a great offensive year that he could potentially lead a bunch of categories, and didn't have a good first half, had a very good second half. So he'll probably win at least 1 or 2 more MVPs, but 2021 wasn't one of them. And my other bonehead move, picked Alex Verdugo to win AL MVP. He came, albeit in a shortened season in 2020, hit 308, 367 OBP. I figured he'd probably have, you know, the most home runs of his career in 2021, and I thought he might be able to build on what he had in 2020. I knew it was an under-the-radar move, but from a Red Sox standpoint, he's one of the players I'm probably the most disappointed in 2021 for how he performed. He wasn't terrible, but I expected a lot more. He fell down in the order by the end of the year. Obviously, trading for Schwarber had a part in that, but he just wasn't thriving at the top of the order. So if he's not traded this winter, hopefully 2022 will be the best year of his career. And no, I am not going to pick him again to win the MVP. So let's just wrap with our Red Sox win totals. I meant to get to this a little bit sooner than now. Job, what was your record for the Red Sox?
Well, I was the second most obvious, or rather most positive host behind Andrew, which is seems to always be the case on the midweek show. We like to be positive. I had the Red Sox winning 85 games, and I still think that that's probably closer to the team that they are than their actual record. But they overperformed in a lot of ways. I don't think that they will make significant improvements this offseason. In fact, I will probably give them the same record prediction next offseason, or next season rather, because I think they are due for, as Andrew said at the beginning of the show, regression. I don't think that this team is as good as they performed this season. And I was at some of those great games. I was at that Yankees wild card game. Charlie and I were at that Astros game in the playoffs. I just think that this team is due for major regression. And starting next week, we're going to be breaking that down. So 85 wins.
Jason?
Yeah, I had them at 83 wins. So I had them at 83 and 79. So I wasn't hugely optimistic going into this year. I did not expect Nathan Eovaldi to take the step forward that he did. Because I looked at their rotation, I said, you're not going to have Chris Sale. So you got Eduardo Rodriguez and Nathan Eovaldi and a bunch of question marks. Eovaldi was dynamite. Pivetta was much better than I expected over the course of a whole season. The offense was up and down. And then obviously I think they got a boost by adding Schwarber at the deadline. But I agree with Job. They overperformed. This is not the team that you saw this year going all the way to the ALCS. I don't think that's really who they are. I think that they're a good team, not a great team. So are they the dregs of the league? No, absolutely not. They never will be. They're the Red Sox, right? So I think that as long as that core of Bogarts, Devers, whatever is intact, they'll never be the dregs. But looking to next year, I mean, I would love to say, well, I'll bump up that number a little bit more if they go and spend in free agency or get some new guys. But are they going to spend? I don't think that's their mentality right now. I think their mentality is, let's not spend. Let's try and get some cheaper guys in here who might help, and let's at least be good enough to crack a wild card or at least contend for a division. So I'm not sure my number will change all that much next year, because I don't know what their mentality is in terms of spending or free agency or whatever. But yeah, certainly I had them at 83. They proved me wrong. They're much better than I thought. I had them ruled out multiple times this year, as many of you on Twitter have astutely pointed out. So thank you for that. And yeah, you'll probably all do it again next year when I roll this team out in June next year. But that's just kind of the way I am. So I had them at 83 this year. Next year, we'll see. We'll see what they do.
Andrew.
Yeah, I had them at 87 this year. I felt really positive about them. I just knew they weren't as bad as they showed last year. And actually, the most accurate pick I think I had was on a show that me, Job, and Terry did, and it was our Red Sox MVP. And I went hard on Hunter Renfroe. I picked him as the Red Sox MVP. I said, you know what you're going to get from Devers, Bogarts, and JD. But I really felt positive about Hunter Renfroe. And he definitely came through this year, and it was great. And I don't know if they're going to get that production out of him next year. If he's on the team next year, obviously he's doing, to pretty much double his salary. But I think that they will spend. I don't think I've wanted a shortstop. I've wanted him to at least kick the tires on Correa. Don't know if it's going to happen. I'm hopeful. I just think that they will use their funds correctly. And I do see this being an 88 to 92 win team, which that might not be good enough if they keep the current playoff format, because the Blue Jays will be good unless they lose Ray and Simeon. And the Rays will be good because that doesn't make sense, and it always happens. And who knows what the Yankees do, but I expect it to be an exciting season all through, like, throughout September.
Charlie.
Here we go, guys. As Ashton Kutcher did in that movie, I was wrong. I will be probably the most positive out of the five of us with my most wins above 2021. You guys may not deviate too much, but I definitely will probably have the most wins. I thought I actually had 71. I had it written down here as 70-92, which was pointed out and called out earlier on. I did not have much faith. The first three games of the season, we lost against Baltimore, who tied for the worst record in baseball, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, with I think it was 50 some odd wins. It was not a good season for them. And then we proceeded to win a boatload of games in a row. I think it was like, what was it? The first win streak that we had, was it 8 in a row?
Something like
or
that.
Nine. Okay. Yeah. So we go 0-3, then we go 9-3, and I'm sitting there like, oh, wow, here we go. Like, Charlie, you were wrong. You were wrong. And I've been wrong before, and I'll be the first one to say it. I'm not that guy that says I was right every time. No, I could not have been more wrong about this team. And definitely, I think we overperformed in relation to where the team actually was, but they made a fool out of me a lot sooner than I thought. And I was wrong. I don't think they're gonna lose 90 games next year. I don't think they're gonna win just 70 games. I want to make that apparently very clear. They're definitely gonna be a minimum 500 win team next year. I'd be shocked if they lost more than 82. The team does have good blueprints moving forward. They have a lot of stars in the making coming up, and now it's about time to see them start to light up.
I was also on the negative side. I had them at 78 wins, 86 losses, and it was a season that we'll probably never see again. With the type of path that we took to get all through 162 games. That first half, we were just phenomenal, and it was, I knew by June they were going to exceed my 78 win total. But preseason, I just wasn't a believer in the pitching staff. I wasn't a believer in Eovaldi. Like Jason said, I didn't think he was going to be quite as stout. I hated the Richard signing. I thought Perez would be a little bit better than what he was. The Pivetta had terrible numbers, career numbers coming in. So that was the root of my, my negative outlook. As far as 2022, I definitely will have them with a winning record. I think winning the division at this point is a long shot, but I want to see what Bloom does. I don't see why we're not going to be competitive all the way through. But I'd say they'll probably win at a minimum of, upper 80s, something like that. So we will wrap on that. I will anoint myself as the worst of the hosts as far as predictions go. I had some bonehead moves. Charlie, you got something?
Yeah, so it came down to who had the most correct picks. Andrew had 5. Job and I had 3. Jason and Terry had 2.
Okay.
And there you have it.
You hear that, yeah, Jason? We tied. You're as sucky as I am.
Yeah, we're equally sucky, Terry. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll be smarter in 2022 for sure. Hope everybody enjoyed it. We've got some opt-in, opt-out decisions, mostly with JD and Kyle Schwarber. Looking like opt-outs for both, but we will be back as soon as those developments happen, or perhaps something else. Tim Hyers won't be back as the hitting coach. We didn't think that was a big enough reason to come on and talk about, but they've performed very well offensively under him, so he will move on. Eddie, I don't know how to say it. Is it Fatse? Something like that. He was the assistant hitting coach and has basically been promoted as the regular hitting coach. So anyway, we'll be back as things develop. I do expect a busy couple of weeks anyway. So stay tuned, and everybody have a good rest of your week. Take care.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.